Hello and welcome to MVP The Master's Voice podcast, our award-winning series from MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend Pavan R. Chawla, and I'm fortunate to have gotten the opportunity to bring you on this episode my very special guest, an international leader and a young veteran. I know it's like an oxymoron, but he's got more than 15 years of rich experience in the sports industry, a luminary figure in the world of cricket. Please join me as I welcome Phil Oliver, CEO of the Desert Vipers, one of the top two teams at the DP World International League T20 in the UAE. Phil, welcome to this episode of MVP The Master's Voice podcast from MediaBrief.com.
Hello, Pavan. Great to be here.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for your time and presence here, particularly because you've only just arrived this morning in Mumbai and are leaving for Dubai this evening. So once again, thank you for your time, precious time you've given to me. And thanks also to Noel D'Souza, a fine comms professional in sports. This is my format. I acknowledge good people for the great work they do. And he's with AdFactors PR and he's helped make this interaction possible. Thanks also to Roshni of your excellent team. So Phil, I'm looking forward to our conversation because it will be about the one sport that's more than a passion. It's like, I dare say, the national religion of India. I'm referring to cricket, of course, you know that. So we will speak about cricket, the DP World International League T20, and about your franchise, Desert Vipers, of course. But what's really the jewel in the crown for me, and you know what had me delighted about having this conversation with you, is the fact that Desert Vipers has not only played excellent cricket to be the first runner-up in the first edition this year, it has also actively pioneered sustainability in professional cricket. Desert Vipers is pioneering eco-conscious operations and transparency in carbon footprint, in its aim to set up benchmarks for global sports teams. So your excellent franchise and team, Desert Vipers, are actually using this passion sport for this great cause. So when Noel mentioned that you're here in India, and also to push that truly precious sustainability envelope here, Phil, well, I had to catch up with you, and we'll speak at length about that, Phil. But hold that thought, because before we get on to our conversation, allow me to do you the courtesy of telling my listeners about you. So by your leave, here goes. My distinguished guest on this episode of our award-winning series MVP The Master's Voice podcast is Phil Oliver, CEO of Desert Vipers at the DP World International League T20 and a young veteran with more than 15 years of rich experience in the sports industry. As I said earlier, Phil stands as a luminary figure in the world of cricket. Before helming the Desert Vipers as CEO in the prestigious DP World International League T20, Phil made significant contributions to the cricket landscape. Phil's a visionary entrepreneur who co-founded and served as the managing director of a pioneering cricket data business, one showcasing his foresight in leveraging technology to enhance the understanding and experience of the sport. Phil's leadership was marked by an innovative approach to data analytics, contributing to the evolution of cricket management and strategy. In 2022, Phil Oliver took on the leadership role in Lancer Capital's cricket operations and led Lancer Capital to notable advancements that solidified its position as a key player in cricket operations. As CEO of Desert Vipers, Phil brings a wealth of experience and a forward-looking vision to the helm of the team. Beyond the pursuit of on-field success, Phil is recognized for his commitment to social impact and sustainability within the realm of sports, and that's what has me really particularly thrilled. Phil's leadership philosophy extends beyond mere victories, embracing the broader responsibility of fostering sustainability and community engagement. Phil Oliver's strategic initiatives reflect a dedication to making cricket not only a source of entertainment, but also a vehicle for social impact, creating a legacy that transcends the game itself. In the dynamic landscape of the DP World International League T20, Phil Oliver's leadership promises to propel the Desert Vipers to even newer heights, both in sporting achievements and in contributing to a more sustainable and socially conscious future for the sport of cricket. So that's about Phil Oliver in brief, my distinguished guest on this episode of MVP The Master's Voice podcast. And now, Phil, let's begin our conversation. You know, Phil, I actually wanted to dive straight into your truly laudable mission to drive sustainability through cricket and your Desert Vipers franchise. But you know what? Let me first put some context to your franchise and the DP World International League T20 first, okay, with your help. So give me a quick walkthrough on the creation and growth of the DP World International League T20. It's had only one season so far in Jan-Feb of 2023. But tell me what the league was inspired by, what's its format, and how has it fared and grown since it was created in the short time that's just passed. How is it distributed, the audience delivery mix across linear and OTT, across its footprint, apart from the in-stadium attendances so far? Now, that's a big question. Give me the brief overview, please, Phil. Take it away.
Sure, Pavan. Okay, quick summary of DP World ILT20. So a six-team event that's held annually in UAE across Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Sharjah. Yeah. Those six teams are comprised of three teams that have expanded from IPL. So we've got My Emirates, the Dubai Capitals, along with the Knight Riders team at Abu Dhabi, and then three new entrants to cricket, Capri Global, Sharjah Warriors, Gulf Giants, and ourselves, Desert Vipers. So six very strong owners who've come together to build the T20 Franchise League in that region with the Emirates Cricket Board. Mm-hmm. Season one happened last year, and we're about a month away from season two. So lots of preparations happening. Media partner, global distributor of TV rights is Zee. So we had a great distribution channel through them last year. Big TV coverage over in India, but globally as well. And yeah, we're all looking forward to building on the success of year one, and hopefully us as the Desert Vipers can go one step further, having been runners-up in season one.
Wonderful, really. And now about Desert Vipers and its performance and growth since its creation.
Sure. So yeah, our operations have been running for about 18 months. So as I say, season one was last year. Mm. And yeah, we've been the privilege of growing a brand from scratch. That was a great opportunity for us, being the new entrants to cricket, the slight outsiders, but we've really taken that on as an opportunity as we grow Desert Vipers from scratch. And sustainability, which I know we're going to talk about today, is a key part of that strategy as we try and grow our brand and be successful on the field and off it as well.
Absolutely. In fact, just two more questions before I come on to sustainability, and that'll be a deep dive, because I think every corporate in India across sectors and, you know, whether for or not for profit rather, can actually take not one but several leaves from that excellent bound book, that report that you have brought out. But we'll come to that. Two questions, like I said, before we get there. The first is, what is DV's Desert Vipers business model overall? And how satisfied are you with the way it has progressed and grown? You mentioned that, but just tell me about the business model and why does that inspire you about its future, also your vision for the future of DV and DP World International League T20?
Sure. So I think there's a huge opportunity for cricket in the region we play in the United Arab Emirates, huge cricket community that we're engaging with. Mm. And for us as the Desert Vipers, we're fully focused on that tournament and the opportunities it provides. Just a little bit about the format that I didn't mention earlier is that it's the International League T20. So there's nine international players, two local UAE players. So we've got an opportunity to grow cricket in UAE and leave a legacy of cricket in the region there, but also have elite players from all around the world, nine international players representing each franchises. It really does set it apart from other franchise leagues. So that's a great opportunity for us to grow the Desert Vipers brand. And who knows what the future brings for Lance, the capital in cricket. But for the moment, we're very focused on this tournament and what we can do at the Desert Vipers.
Excellent. Do you see the number of franchises growing later?
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But we've got a lot on our plate at the moment in Dubai with the Vipers.
Right. My last question before I get on to sustainability, which will help us complete the context here, Phil. Phil, you've led Lancer Capital's cricket operations. What did that entail? And how has that experience influenced and even helped you in your approach to, leading Desert Vipers? Any synergies there? I'm sure there must be, but tell us.
Yeah, you mentioned my analytics background, and that's how it came about, actually, my involvement with Lancer Capital. I was approached by the team at Lancer Capital, who had bought this franchise. And the first thing that I did, of course, was look at the cricket operations. So that entailed speaking to Tom Moody, who is our director of cricket. Yeah. And he quickly pulled together a very elite group of coaches and support staff. And so we started on the field. That was the most important role of year one, trying to get things set up on the field. And now we've been able to take a step back and look at our off-the-field activities. So Tom and I have really worked hard on trying to develop a culture that's winning both, as I say, on the field in terms of cricket performance, but also setting examples off the field beyond the boundary as well.
Excellent, Phil. Okay, Phil, I'm, as I promised, putting my questions on the cricketing action and the DP World ILT20 on pause right now. We'll return to those later. But right now, let's dwell upon how your franchise does at Wipers. And you are, as I said earlier, but it is worth repeating, so I'm saying it again, how you are prioritizing eco-conscious operations and transparency in carbon footprint. And your stated aim is to set a benchmark for global sports teams. So tell me in your own words, Phil, about this mission and the specific initiatives that Desert Vipers has undertaken to promote environmental responsibility and community engagement so far.
Sure. Well, firstly, thanks, Pavan, for giving me the platform to talk about something that's so important, not just to us at the Desert Vipers, but we think to everyone, but particularly cricket fans. And that was the starting point for us, was the impact of climate change on cricket as a sport. I think it's affected more than probably any other sport, you know, the areas that cricket is played in. You see extreme weather conditions all over the world. And the reality is cricket is under existential threat from climate change. So that was our starting point to what can we do to actually implement material change and, as I say, set an example. And that can only really come from within. So our starting point was to measure our footprint last year. How do we operate as a franchise? And it's been a really interesting learning experience, actually, for someone who's been quite new to this. Measuring the footprint, which, just to give you some numbers on this, our carbon footprint as a franchise last year was 570 tons of carbon.
Wow.
And that's quite hard to measure, isn't it? It feels like a lot, but in the context, that, just to give you an idea, that's about the equivalent of a one-day international played at Lords. So the whole of our footprint for a month plus of operations over in Dubai was the equivalent of a one-day international. So
amazing.
That gives you an idea of the challenge that cricket has in general. If you scale that across, and our outlook was that cricket isn't really doing enough in this space. And it gave us the opportunity to try and do things slightly differently around that. So it started with that measurement and tracking, and the strategy has really been born out of that accountability. So we've measured that footprint, and everything we do from now is trying to reduce that footprint, but also set an example and bring others with us on that journey to improve sustainable practices.
Wonderful. Actually, inspire, and where it's required, I say that it's not your statement at all. Shame the others into emulating this, because it's all, I mean, it's always wonderful to drive profit. Without that, you can't survive. But when you drive profit for and with purpose, that's something else entirely.
Yeah, it's a collective effort, that's
absolutely
for sure.
Absolutely. In fact, Phil, your work on sustainability, I must say this, is actually an open book on real emotional and other investment for the cause. I see several areas listed and discussed at length in your very detailed publication. So from all those, you mentioned the carbon footprint is the first most important starting point, and you gave me this amazing comparison, you know, between another great cricket venue and Desert Vipers, right? So carbon footprint, and what else?
So the next step was to place sustainability practices at the core of our cricket operations, commercial outlook, and everything we do. Sustainability has to be central to that. And there are a myriad of reasons for that. Number one, I think it is just the right thing to do. You know, global warming is real. We need to acknowledge that and try and do what we can to reduce our own footprint. But there are other reasons as well. I think you mentioned commercial viability, and I think that this is a really exciting space that's developing in sports, and cricket in particular has a long way to go, I think, in terms of changing a commercial model around sustainable practices. So we had an eye on that as well. And really, it's what we do next. Yes, we can reduce, but the inspiration that we can take to the younger generation through education is very important as well. So we're doing our own programs internally, but also taking those out to communities by educating kids with the merits of sustainable practices, combined with the great opportunity that cricket has to inspire and engage young audiences.
Wonderful. In fact, you preempted my question, my next one, which was how you ensure, you know, all decisions as CEO of Desert Vipers on sustainability aligning with the Desert Vipers' broader organizational goals. But I got that answer. I must ask you, you know, a lot of leagues, a lot of franchises across the world are in good places, governed by good, strong governments. But not many of them take the lead in pushing a very important, a crucial envelope like sustainability as you are doing. So what do you think of the kind of support and the kind of encouraging environment, if I may use those words, that the Emirates Cricket Board and also the wonderful government in the UAE, which is always very conscious and conscientious about such important things, what kind of support or encouragement, let's say, do you receive from them?
Yeah, that's a good point, because it's the year of sustainability in UAE at the moment. They've just held COP28 over there. So our operations have been happening on that backdrop. And as I said earlier, it is a collective effort. We can do what we can, but if we can bring others with us on that journey. And I think setting an example is very important and being accountable as we go. I mentioned our year one footprint. We're going to carry on reporting how that footprint reduces. Talk about the challenges that we face, because this isn't an easy problem to solve. It's not a quick fix. It is long term. Yeah. So working with other stakeholders in our ecosystem, such as the Emirates Cricket Board, all the partners involved with the league and other teams, hopefully we can bring others with us and share on our journey and try and bring them, as I say, with us on that. One key thing that we've done that I hope others will follow, we're the first team in UAE to sign up to the United Nations Sport for Climate Action Framework, which is a very significant commitment, because that means we've committed to reducing our carbon emissions significantly to be net zero by 2040.
Wonderful. Absolutely remarkable.
Which means we really have to be active. You know, we are going to be accountable to that. And you mentioned how we bring others in our organization with us on that journey. And that really sums it up, because everything that is in that framework, the 17 goals that the UN are working towards, we have a reference point for all of our employees, all of our players. And the players are very important, because they are the ambassadors and agents of change that can inspire others on a global stage.
Beautiful. In fact, the UN goals are like a roadmap for you as a sustainability-driven entity franchise. But at the same time, I must really compliment you, because what you've created could well be a ready-made roadmap for every responsible and responsive corporate and business entity. Your printed document, that big book, for anyone who's into or wanting to do CSR, push sustainability, drive profit with purpose. So truly, take a bow. When it comes to the food, drinks, apparel, equipment, travel, commutes, hotel stays, etc., Phil, how conscious about sustainability is your entire team of players and the much bigger complete support and other executives system group at Desert Vipers?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because it's something that we've not struggled with but considered on this whole process is the importance of our players and the group. So just to talk about some of the learnings that we've had, and you mentioned travel, that was the thing that really jumps out at us when we measured that footprint. So 70% of our footprint is travel, which is made up really of international air travel. Hmm. We have to fly in the majority of our players. A lot of our staff come from all over the world to play in Dubai. And that's just the reality. So how can we change that conversation? How can we try and improve our practices around travel when the reality is 70% of our footprint is on air travel? We have to do it. Lots of people have to travel by air for work, so we can make certain changes. So the Desert Vipers exec team, we don't travel by business class now. And that's because, and this is a bit of a, hopefully a nugget for your listeners, the average business class ticket has a 3 times the carbon footprint than an economy ticket.
Oh, wow.
And a first class ticket is 6 times.
How do you spread the word on sustainability, Phil? You know, do you promote it through your player jerseys, or, you know, encourage them to spread the word through their social media accounts and fan pages? How about schools, colleges? I mean, because I know you're driven, and I've seen on your website also that you have this as an important part of spreading the word.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We need to get the word out there and show what we're doing and, as I say, hopefully inspire. Players are important. They're there to play and hopefully to win on the field, but they certainly have an ability to inspire change as well with what they're doing. But you mentioned education, and that, I think, is the central tenet of our sustainability program. So we're running a sustainability in schools training program in UAE, which we're very excited about the prospects of scaling that. We're looking at how that can work in India. And we should say that we're giving taster sessions in cricket, but just as much we're giving taster sessions in sustainability for 8 to 13-year-olds. So what that means is we go into the schools with specially trained coaches and we run sessions that have sustainability themes running through it. So we talk about, as cricket fans, recycling the ball around the field. So there'll be little activations where the kids make sure they put the can in the right recycling bin. We talk about a warm-up in the context of global warming and just give kids an idea of the reality of climate change and how they can make their own small impact. And once that, as we know, once more people do that, the power of change can be much greater further down the line. So that's the central part of that schools program. We hope to reach about 8,000 kids over the next few months doing that in around Dubai schools and a range of schools, including South Asian communities, where we know that cricket is, of course, very popular. And we're excited about the prospect of scaling that operation outside of UAE and looking what's possible in India in a similar way, because we do think it's a different way of giving cricket coaching to young kids.
Wonderful. And you're in India also with the agenda of spreading the word on sustainability. Will you tell me a little more about this trip of yours to India?
Well, this one is a flying visit. I hope to be back very, very soon.
As I said earlier.
Yes, indeed. So our tournament starts on the 19th of January. So we're busy preparing for the start of season two of ILT20. But we do hope to be back with the Adfaxers group to try and build out our programs here and show what we're doing in Dubai is very much possible here in India as well. And I think the important thing that we're trying to do is actually develop a network of like-minded individuals and businesses, other sports teams, other rights holders who want to walk the walk with us, because it's not just a buzzword. It is something we're doing authentically, and working with others who share a similar outlook is very important to us, because that's how we think we can make real material change, by working with others who think similarly.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, you know, Phil, you are and your team are truly committed to driving awareness for sustainability through cricket and your Desert Vipers franchise in the UAE. I must say, you know, on behalf of everybody, on behalf of my audience, my listeners, thank you for the good work you're doing there, Phil. And I hope and I'm sure it will also inspire the excellent IPL franchises in India too to push the sustainability envelope further. They are doing stuff. And I don't want to generalize, because it would not be a comment based on some research that I might have done. But I still feel that given the size and the stature that they have, each franchise has grown into over so many years, okay, a decade and a half, I don't think they are doing enough. And I think they should, with due respect to them.
Okay? Well, yeah, for us, in terms of what a measure of success is, we want others to do this with us. We don't see this as a Desert Vipers thing. This is something that we think that cricket teams and sports teams should be doing. So we want to collaborate. We want to work with other stakeholders, share our learnings, because it has been, as I say, quite a steep learning curve, discovering things around carbon footprint, travel, and all those issues that we do face. And we're recording those in a regular sustainability blog on all the Desert Vipers social channels and our website. And I'm glad you mentioned our sustainability framework. That document is a great piece of work by our agency partners, Carbon Happy World, experts in the measurement of carbon footprint. And they've given us great insight on how we can reduce and improve those practices. Oh. And that reference document is really useful for anyone who's interested in this whole space.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to put up a link to that document where people can download it. It's truly invaluable. And I must say, I'll conclude this section on sustainability with my sincere observation, heartfelt observation, that, you know, you're doing all of this with authenticity. It's not the kind of, you know, moment marketing bullshit that I see a lot of different brands doing on different days. This really is like a mission for you. And the manner in which you've gone ahead, published things, stated and said, this is what we give ourselves the onus for doing, is truly amazing. Very, well,
that's
good,
very kind.
Inspiring.
Thank you. And you're right, though. We are open about this. There are challenges. We won't succeed at every turn. So we're open for feedback from everyone who shares this journey with us. So we can do what we can, but we're prepared to fail if we try.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you will not fail. More strength to you. Right now, Phil, let's quickly shift gears and return to the business and passion of cricket and about Desert Vipers in the DP World International League T20 and in the UAE. So, Phil, what is the usual audience mix at DV and, you know, your International League T20 games like in stadium, and what are the locations and ways you play it out in, you know, out-of-home venues like pubs and restaurants, etc., for better community viewing, fan engagements, revenues? What is the kind of audience mix that you get in stadium and outside? and target.
That's the interesting mix, I think, around where we play cricket. So we've got three high-quality international stadiums within a couple of hours of each other. Dubai International Stadium, our home ground. Sharjah, which is, of course, very well known to cricket fans. And Abu Dhabi as well. All very close, so it's easy to get around. And I should mention around the international air travel that I referred to earlier, We don't have the issue of flying around during tournament. We stay in one hotel and can commute to our games and training very easily.
Wonderful.
That also means that the matches are more accessible for fans. And you're right, we've got a rich tapestry of cricket fans. It's a very diverse community, lots of expats, lots of cricket lovers, South Asian communities, as I mentioned, but also English, Australian expats. And we want to be a broad church and really appeal to all of those cricket fans and give them an opportunity to come and watch some very high quality cricket. That's the most important thing. We shouldn't forget about ILT20, that some of the quality of players is really elite. And I think there's an opportunity for everyone to really sample cricket. And for some cases, the very first time, you know, we're going into Emirati schools as well. We're not just going into expat schools. So we are making an impact locally as well.
Excellent.
And I think that's an opportunity for legacy that we can really leave in the region.
Wonderful, wonderful. And with expats, you know, mostly every outing is like a family event. So I'm sure a lot of family viewing happens, whether in ground, in stadia, or even in, you know, places of out of home entertainment and at home.
Should be a good day out for.
Yeah. How do you market DV, Desert Vipers, across a media mix for different TGs? See, your marketing would, of course, be linked with series and the games, of course, primarily. But how do you create and generate fan frenzy on geography grounds? You know, like, that's how the IPL has always worked and scored strongly, you know? Okay, Mumbai, Chennai, Bangalore, Gujarat, Delhi, you name it, they're all places which kind of fans unite on the basis of. And then there are these wars on social media and, you know, it just pumps up the entire excitement. But not all six franchisee teams at DP World International are named after specific geographies. You have Abu Dhabi Knight Riders, Desert Vipers, Dubai Capitals, Gulf Giants, MI Emirates and Sharjah Warriors. So how do you market Desert Vipers in the league?
Thanks, Pavad. That's a good question because it is a challenge for us. But it's one that we really embrace, the opportunity to build something from scratch as a brand new team, a brand new identity that we can develop. So building our brand identity was an opportunity for us to do that from scratch. We're new to cricket and we have an opportunity to really deliver something different. And that was the starting point. So we want to innovate and we've got a mission and value statement that innovation is central to that, along with sustainability, and be high performance as well. So we think performing very strongly on the field with a great group of players. We had Alex Hales last year, the tournament's leading run scorer, Winindu Hasaranga, a great array of elite playing talents that we really want to promote globally because they're superstars. And that's the great thing that we've got at our disposal, 9 international players on the field at any one time. And you're right that the geographical appeal of those players is important. So locally, what we can do is reach out to those communities who have an affinity with those players. We did that with a recent Viper Cup, an indoor tournament that we held in Dubai, where local corporate businesses could come in and enter their own team with their workforce and play actually with a Desert Vipers team. So our UAE players came along to watch. They didn't bat and bowl. That was left to me and our staff. We had a good go at playing against the experts in these indoor leagues, but it was a great opportunity to actually connect with local communities and do what they enjoy doing, playing indoor cricket. And that is something that's is very important to try and connect with a cricket audience who then will hopefully come to the matches and support the Vipers.
Wonderful. And when you pick local players, you will obviously go for the ones who are the best. But then do you also look at a slightly younger lot where you can say, okay, let's put 3 of these on the bench and train them as we go along? Do you do that? Because that would really be a big help and a boost to cricket locally.
Yeah, it's important for us to try and develop that next generation of UAE cricketers. They reached the final of the Asia Cup men's under 19 event just last week. And we've got some exciting young recruits. There is a stipulation that you have to have an under 23 player in that group of 4 UAE players in your squad. Mm-hmm. And that there is an exciting collection of young talent coming through. And we've got a couple of those in our squad that we think will have an opportunity to show what they can do. And who knows, maybe play in other franchise leagues, having been given this platform.
Wonderful, wonderful. You're doing everything on and off the field and the grounds for cricket and for, you know, the important aspects of life and the ecology sustainability that it can sustain. So beautiful. Building on your experience, Phil, in cricket data, how do you see technology and innovation shaping the future of the sport? And how is Desert Vipers leveraging these advancements?
So yeah, Pavan, you're right. Data is very important, both on and off the field. Data is crucial, both on-field analytics. It's a big part of what I think all the franchises do now to varying degrees. We use data analytics around our squad preparation, scouting, and then throughout the tournament as well. We have an analyst on board who's central to our team selection and planning and strategies and so on. But also we're data-driven off the field. And I go back to our carbon footprint measurement. Data has to be used as we advance our sustainability strategies and decide the route that we go in the future. You have to use the array of data that's available to you to help you make decisions in the right way. So it is an important part of what we're doing, and you can't avoid that.
Just two more questions, okay? And we'll do them quickly. I cannot not ask you this one. So tell me what you think, Phil. I mean, you bring everything, whether it's business acumen, whether it's creating, building entities and, you know, growing them, and then your entire cricketing passion here, right? So what about the prohibitive and unrealistic acquisition costs incurred to ring fence other entrants in any league? Aren't those costs the only big longer term impediments to profitable ROI? That's what I feel. So share your slightly detailed view on this. And if you want to comment on the IPL 23 bids, fine, and going ahead. Also, did the DP World International T20 League see the same kind of bidding frenzy?
I think it was a slightly different process for the purchase of franchises. What okay. I would say is that there's a massive opportunity, I think, in the region that we play for this league to really take hold and develop. Huge cricket audience there. And also, as I say, via Z in India, a massive Indian audience that can support the league as well. So I think the strength of the ownership group, people like Mumbai Indians buying a franchise, Adani Group, some serious big hitters in the business world in India taking interest in a league in UAE, I think tells its own story. So we're here for the long term. All the teams are committed to try and build cricket in UAE and use the love and passion of the Indian audience to help sustain that as well from an international perspective.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Phil, what personal values or principles guide your leadership style? Let's look at you also. All I see is a tip of an amazing iceberg. And I want you to give some insights, you know, what are the personal values or principles that guide your leadership style? And how do you maintain a balance between the business aspect and the passion for the game? And can these actually remain separate at all, actually?
It's a good point. When you start an operation like a cricket team from scratch, it is easy to lose sight that you're a cricket team. So when we got together and our first match happened last year and we were fortunate enough to win that game, it is hugely satisfying to see it come together and think, great, we're a cricket team and we can function. And we've got a great group of support staff behind us. And what you see on the field is represented by everyone who comes together, top to bottom throughout the organization. So we're very inclusive. We want everyone to feel that they can contribute to the Desert Vipers journey, both on the field and trying to claim the trophy this year. Hopefully we can win it, as I say, but also the off-field journey as well. Everyone knows what we're trying to do. Everyone is pulling together in that, and we hold each other accountable, and that includes me. So we've got a great group, and I'm very pleased that we're all getting together again very soon for the start of season two.
Wonderful. And how beautifully you put yourself out in front when it comes to responsibility, accountability also. That is an important part of your leadership style. I think this is a beautiful leaf people can take from your book.
Thanks, Pavan.
I'm your host and friend, Pavan R. Chawla, founder of MediaBrief.com. With me is the amazing Phil Oliver, CEO of Desert Vipers. Phil, what makes you so gung-ho about the Desert Vipers and the DP World ILT20?
We at the Desert Vipers plan to win on the field with an exciting brand of attacking cricket and win off the field with our sustainability program and strategy, which is best summarized, I think, overall by our motto of Fangs Out.
Wonderful, Phil. More strength to you and to Desert Vipers.
Thanks, Pavan.
Phil, I've enjoyed my conversation with you, and I'm sure the audience of MediaBrief.com too will find all your insights and your absolutely stellar commitment to driving awareness about and impact for sustainability through cricket very empowering and inspirational. So what did you think about your chat with me on MVP The Master's Voice podcast from MediaBrief.com today?
Thanks, Pavan. It is real privilege and pleasure to have this platform with you and share the desk with such a luminary who is interested in what we're doing. So the pleasure is all mine. Thank you again for the opportunity. And I hope we've started a conversation among your listeners. And as I say, hopefully the Desert Vipers platforms give a bit more insight in what we're doing. And we're always open to feedback as well.
Wonderful. And I can assure you that the listeners we have are truly evolved and movers and shakers, and those who actually take decisions that will have long-term and far-reaching impact. So I'm sure that your visit here will help you spread the good word about all the great stuff you do, whether through cricket, on the field, or on sustainability also. So thank you very much indeed for your time. And thanks once again to Noel and to Roshni, your amazing comms teammates, Roshni from your team and Noel from AdFactorSphere here in Mumbai.
Yeah, I second that. Thank you, everyone.
Wonderful. Phil Oliver, CEO of the Desert Vipers, was my distinguished guest on this episode of MVP The Master's Voice podcast from MediaBrief.com. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I found it extremely stimulating and very, very inspirational and insightful. Till we meet again in the next episode of MVP The Master's Voice podcast, this is your host and friend Pavan R. Chawla, founder editor of MediaBrief.com, saying, take care, stay safe, stay fit and healthy. Bye-bye.